Morning. Can I start out this morning? All our vets and those who serve, please stand. Seeing this is a special weekend, we can honor our vets today and this weekend for the service that it gave for us to be able to have the freedom to be able to speak freely about God's Word. Thank you all very much for your service. You know, if you missed this morning's lesson, class, we were kind of bold this morning, I do believe, on our topic and what we talked about. And this morning, I'm going to tell you, we're going to probably be a little bold this morning, not only to us as individuals, but us as a congregation. And I love this congregation so much because I'm able to be that way without fear, without hurting people's feelings, we can do that here. You know, we were talking about in Acts chapter 13, the spreading of the gospel, and the disciples were going out preaching it, and they just got kicked out of a region and told not to come back, and they were preaching the gospel to their people. The attitude they had that after that happened, we ended with, in Acts chapter 13, verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy. They were just rejected, and they were filling with joy and with the Holy Spirit. We talked about that understanding that they had, that they were able and had the privilege to spread God's message, and it led it up to the people to decide if they're going to take it or reject it. So you look around in the world today, we can get discouraged and have that same struggle. But we were talking about where the church was back then and where the church is today. And you look around, there's not as many people in this room there was a few years ago. And what is our issues? Where is our struggle at? And I love Acts so much, and we've been studying it. Acts gives the good, the bad, and the ugly of the church growth. It doesn't hold anything back. It talks about the struggles. It talks about their achievements. It talks about where the church was struggling and didn't hold nothing back. Transparency, God has always been. He doesn't hold the truth back in any form or fashion. This morning, I want to talk to you a really tough subject about this morning and the struggles that we have within our church. Not only here, not as much, and I'll tell you why here in a moment. Because me and Wesley talk about this all the time in worship service, how it seems even this morning, how all the songs and scriptures kind of follow with my sermon, like we got together and talked about it. No. We didn't get together and talk about it. But in the church today, there's that struggle, that inner thing that's holding us back, I do believe, that the Church of the Christ and the Christ Church has been holding back for years. It ain't no different than what they struggled in the first century church. That's why the good Lord put it in Scriptures, for us to understand. If you have a handout, we're on lesson 20 out of our book, but we're in Acts chapter 15. So I want to read over parts of Acts chapter 15, and I'll kind of tell you the story as we go along, because I have so much to cover this morning. I don't want to keep you here till this evening. So we'll get through it. But I want us to talk about this subject because I think it's one of those struggles that we have. Let's start in Acts chapter 15. And start with verse 1. Certain people came down from Judea and Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the customs taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed along with some of the other believers to go back to Jerusalem. So they were sent back. All right, let's get an answer to this question, basically. They create strong dispute with the church there. Now, the church sent them on their way. And going down in verse 4 for a moment, this made, going down verse 4, if you follow along the sheet, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders to whom they report everything God has done through them. So they were going back to find out the answers through the elders. What is the answer to this question? Because it's creating great dispute. But I want to point out something right here. When they reported out to the elders, they reported everything God has done through them. They didn't take credit for anything. All their good works, everything they did, they understood and realized they were doing the work of the Lord. And all good things came from the Lord. They didn't take credit for anything. That's a key aspect as we go along to realize who we're doing it for and who deserves the credit. So often, as we'll talk about here in a moment, our pride and our self saying, I did that, gets in the way to make us realize and take away from what God has actually done. And that's a key part to remember as we go through this, that you need to realize where it's coming from, the message that we teach. So they reported to them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the part of the Pharisees, in this verse 5, stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. Whose law was it? God's law. That's where they were having their struggles. That Moses was an ancestor, but Moses is not the one that gave the law to them at the time. It was God who gave the law. And so often we stand up, the Church of Christ says. And we're right by putting the Church of Christ, but we're trying to separate ourselves from everybody else. It's God's word, Christ's word. It's what He speaks. And we so often get away from that. And it creates divide and tensions. People look at us differently because we try to separate ourselves and not realizing we're passing on the message of God. Let's read on. The apostles and the elders considered the question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. That they'll hear the message of the gospel and believe. Let's read on. In verse 8 it says, God who knows the heart showed that He accepted them and by giving them the Holy Spirit to them, just as purify their heart by faith. My dyslexia kicked in. Let's back up for 1 second and read it one more time so we have a full understanding. God who knew the heart showed that they accept them by giving them the Holy Spirit to them, just as He did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them. Just stop there for a minute. God's message. He gave it to them first and then to the Gentiles. But it was His to give. He didn't discriminate between Jews or Gentiles. The funny thing is, and as we'll talk about here in a minute, He told them this was coming. Through the promise of Abraham, all nations would be blessed. So their descendants kept telling them, this day is coming. Now, in verse 10, let's back up just for a second and finish reading the rest of that. For He purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors had been able to bear.
He just laid it out for them. That law that you stand on so hard on, that was given to you, you weren't able to bear it either, or we wouldn't have had to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross. You're trying to yoke the Gentile for something you couldn't even do yourself. And we got to realize and understand where the message is coming from. It's God's message. You need to understand that. The struggles that we have today is because of how we present it and how we do it. Let's read on. No, we believe is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are saved. We're all saved through Jesus Christ. And that's what he was trying to tell them, and that's what he's trying to tell us today. It's God's message that we all are saved through Jesus Christ. It's not of our ability, because it's through His grace and mercy that we are able to be saved. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul tell about the signs and wonders God had done. Who had done it? Not taking credit for it. So everything that we do, that God should get the glory out of it. Everything that we do. Somebody comes to Christ because we shared the message. God did that. The message that comes out of my mouth is coming from God, and God did that. We need to understand, as me and Wesley talked about before, He is the one that needs to be glorified. We talked about earlier, it's based off their heart. And this is where I know where our congregation is good. We have the right heart. And then he kept looking at the Gentiles. He saw their heart. When worship goes the way it goes, the songs go line up with the sermon and the worship and the Lord's Supper lines up, is because of our heart. You know where some of the struggles I think we have as the church today is a heart issue. You've heard me say that before, but as I study this even more, we are happy to come to church. We are happy to do the acts of worship every day. We come in here and give our part and sing our songs and listen to the Word of God. But there's a heart in it. I know this congregation is, because of just the way things go. We are truly blessed with this congregation because we allow the Spirit. Do you come to worship God? Do you come to church to truly worship God? Because that's what we're here for today. There's other stuff that we have to do once we leave here, but we're here to praise God, worship God in every way. And our heart should be in it. If you're coming to church to check off a box, then you're in the wrong place. We're here to worship God in everything that we do. Let's continue on in verse 12 again. And the whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul tell them about the signs and wonders of God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, he said, listen to me, Simon. Was describing to us how God first entered to choose a people for His name from the Gentiles. The word of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it was written. He was telling them, look, you've been told that this is what it's all about. It's about being a part of the whole world, spreading the word and gospel to everyone. And in verse 16, after this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. It was ruined. I will rebuild it, and I will restore it, and the rest of mankind may see the Lord. Wait a minute. And the rest of mankind. Not just the Jewish people, but everybody. That leaves nobody out. The rest of mankind will restore it and see Even all the Gentiles who bear my name, saith the Lord, who does these things, know from long ago. He was telling them that this is something that we should be spreading to everybody and not putting unusual yokes on them. So, this is what they came up with after that discussion. It's my judgment, therefore, we should not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from idol food, immoral acts, sexual acts, immorality, meats of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses had been preached in every city from early times and is read in the synagogue every Sabbath. He said, don't put unusual laws. It's best for them not to eat from idol foods, not to have immorality, and not to be from strangled animals. Because it's the custom back then, that was not good meat to eat. It needed to be processed properly. It was good for them. He told them that. So, verse 22, the apostles and the elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men to go back with Paul and Barnabas and tell them this. Not only to send the letter, but to have that so they can hear it from their voice, so they know that this is a good letter. So he sent them back, go tell the church, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to tell you to be circumcised. We're not going to tell you to follow the law of Moses, because the law of Moses, y'all couldn't even keep during that time frame. So he went back and sent them back to do that. Jump down in page 3, if you're trying to follow along with me, in verse 24. Page 3 and verse 24. And when he had heard that some went out from us without authority and dispute you and troubled your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friend, Barnabas and Paul. And look, these are what he's described, and you need to catch this part. Listen to how they describe these men. Men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have risked their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are talking about two godly men. Godly men. So to confirm from what we just talked about, the words from the mouth, what was written. So that basically we're sending a letter, we're sending you people to confirm what we're saying. It seems good to be Holy Spirit and to us not to bond you with anything beyond the following requirements. And it went back over the same requirements. Don't eat food from sacrificed idols, from blood, or meat from strangled animals, or sexual morality. You will do well to avoid these things. So then we're not putting any extra on this. We're not going to put nothing extra laws against you. We're going to put God's law. God's laws only. So the men were sent off and went down where they gathered the church together to deliver the letter. The people read it and were glad and were encouraged by the message. They were excited to hear this message. They were excited that they're listening to them. They were excited to receive the message. We talked about this in class this morning. The Gentiles had one of those hearts. Remember, we talked about the heart issue. They were excited and honored to receive the message. When we read that in class this morning, they were honored and excited to receive the message. They had an open heart to receive God. They met the first requirements to have that heart that was willing to accept God's word. That's what they needed. After spending some time, verse 33, after spending some time, they were sent off by the believers and blessed of the peace to return to those who have sent them. So basically, they send them back. But in verse 35, Paul and Barnabas remained there, where they, many others, they taught and preached the word of the Lord. So they got their answer, so they're back to doing their work. So we're done, right? This is where I think not only does the church go through struggles, where we try to do things as congregations to put bounds of, on our membership. We have divide. And we create. The problem is, it's not our law. I've seen in recent years, and I won't go to the congregations to put out any information and stuff like that from where, but I've had an argument brought to my attention one time. Well, they changed the carpet and the pews. It doesn't look like a church. We have divided and argued over stuff in the church, over stuff that has nothing to do with the message. And we wonder why we struggle as a church sometimes. But because we forget what we're here for. We're here to deliver the good news. So we get divided among ourselves over stuff that we should not get divided over. We argue over things in the church that has nothing to do with it. And it creates division among the church. Let's read on. Because it doesn't stop just there. Sometime later, Paul and Barnabas, let's go and visit the believers in all the towns we were preaching the word of the Lord, so we can see how they're doing.
They want to go preach and to go check on everybody. They want to see what they preach is staying in good hands. And that's a good thing there. That's awesome news there. So, Barnabas wants to take John, also called Mark. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted him earlier in the mission and had not continued with them in the works. They had such a sharp disagreement.
So, they had a disagreement. It was a sharp disagreement. So, are we going to have disagreements? And I think that's where the struggle of the church is today. We get in disagreements and we get to setting the way things are in the church. I grew up in the church. You know, I went to high school in the 80s. I don't know if y'all had to go through that, but when I went through the high school in the 80s, I never went to a prom. You know why I never went to a prom? Because we put on that you shouldn't be dancing. Remember that time frame? So I never got to go to a prom because they were told dancing is bad. Some dancing is bad. Don't get me wrong. The way they danced, the way they did things, some of it, especially back in the 80s, they weren't the appropriate way to dance. But they created so much argument and divide in the church over dancing. And we sometimes do that. We put restrictions on people. And we're not doing, and we'll fight to the end. I'm telling you, dancing is wrong. We'll have disagreements on it. And that's okay. Because the two godly men didn't agree with each other. One went one way for a little while, and the other one went the other way for a little while. But we got to remember, you know, can I step on some toes?
You know, as Christians, we stand our ground and try to make things that you have to do that, or you're not a Christian. Let me tell you about a sign I read that offended me because they don't get the message. God don't worry about worldly things, does He? He worries about His church. He worries about His people. And I'm going to go down a road that some of y'all might not like. We just went through a political battle. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, or Independent. Independence. You have to decide for yourself what's the right thing. But we've got into arguments over it. I worked the election day because I had to do this, help secure it, parking and all that. And I passed a sign that bothered me beyond belief. If you're Republican, you gotta vote. If you're a Christian, you gotta vote Republican. I started looking in there and saying, looking for that in the Bible, and I couldn't find it nowhere. God makes those decisions who's the leaders of our country. He leads us where we go to go. We suffer the consequences when we get further and further away from God's Word. When we take prayer out of schools, there's consequences. When we take, let the government try to control the church more than they should, there's consequences. There's consequences of decision, but that doesn't make a bind me to be a Republican, Democrat, or Independent. So how do we handle those disputes among the church? How do we handle if I take out all these pews and change this carpet, that it's going to create an issue with the church and divide the church? Because I've seen it happen. How do we do that? You know who it falls back on? It falls back on us. Because somebody don't agree with me, it's how I handle it. It's the way we handle it. We want to grow as a church here. We want to grow in this area here. And we have disputes with other Christians and other people. It's the way we handle it. What example do we follow? Let's go to, in your paperwork, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger with every form of malice. Get rid of that first part. We can't get angry. We got to realize we're trying to save somebody. We got to realize that what we're trying to do here. You know, this right here, it's like medication. It has the ability to save souls. I can't make somebody take medicine. All I can do is give them the medicine. They don't reject me, they reject the medicine. They don't reject me, they reject Christ. But when you look at Jesus' life on how He handled the dispute with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the arguments, He didn't argue. He presented them the truth and let them run it with the way they went. He didn't get mad. He didn't get upset at them. He just stood for the truth. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says this: "So to it that no one falls short of the grace of God." See to it that no one falls short to the grace of God, and that no bitterness root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You know, when we stand for our cause and we stand for it in a way that we are allowing, all right, fine, I'm taking my medicine with me. We have that attitude and the different approach. They say, look, I know it's your choice to take this, but it will save your life. Two different approach, two different attitudes. I grew up in the church and we have stood firm on stuff and not given it the way it should be, that it's God's message. We've taken ownership of something we should never take ownership of. We've died on hills that we've had no right to die on. not understanding that if they don't take it, somebody else needs it. If you don't want it, I'm not going to hold here for very long. I'm going to go take it to somebody else who needs it. That's what we talked about in class. Knock the dust off your feet and go to somebody else who is in need of it. Don't get angry at them. Don't get mad, because guess what? You might be able to come back and give them that message. They might be receptive later to it and say, all right, you don't want it, I got to wipe my off my feet and move on to the next person. And they go, wait a minute. He didn't get mad at me. He may have something I want. John 13:34 tells us, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Can you really get angry at somebody you love truly? You can get frustrated a little bit, but really, are you going to turn your back on them and give up on them if you truly love them? It's our approach, brothers and sisters. It's how we grow as a congregation, as a church. Romans 12, verse 10 tells us, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above thyself. Honor someone above thyself. When you honor somebody and you're really trying to pass on the truth and tell them, show them, you don't get mad or upset, because you're not going to get upset at yourself, right? Think about that for a minute. You're not going to get upset at yourself. So why would you get upset at somebody else? It's the way we present the gospel. The way we grow as a church. That makes the difference. What we do does matter. Page 5. May the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. What kind of attitude did Christ have for us? One, the willingness to die on the cross while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, he did everything he possibly could to save our lives. And that's the same attitude we need to have to each other and here in the congregations and to the church and to those out there. That we're willing to do whatever it takes to make the difference. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 tells us, make every effort to live in peace with one another and to be holy. Without holiness, no one sees the Lord. Make every effort to live in peace and with everyone and to be holy. Why? Because without holiness, no one sees the Lord. I don't want to be that person. So how we treat others matters. How we treat others in the church and how we treat others out there matters. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, still on page 5. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. And it's not arrogant. Listen to that. Because that's what the Lord showed to us. The Lord was patient, kind. He did not envy, he did not boast, he was not arrogant. As Christians, we need to have patience with people. So often that's our biggest struggle, is we don't have patience. We get mad and frustrated because they don't see our view or how we see it. But you got to understand one part of all this. Every one of us are in a different point in our Christian life. Some of us are young, even though we're old. Some of us are mid-age as Christians, and some of us are very strong as Christians. We're all different. You can't judge them from where they're at. They're at where they're at. That's where the Lord put them. You can't judge them based on your standard, because it's not your standard. It's God's standard. So often as Christians, we want to expect everybody to be where we're at the same understanding that we're at. So often that we're so arrogant, we realize we're not where we think we are. And we need to understand that. So how we handle people matters. How we approach people matters. Examining ourselves matters. Ephesians 4, verse 2 tells us, with all humbleness and gentleness. Wait a minute.
You've got to be humble. You got to realize this is not you that's making this happen. You didn't have nothing to do with that person becoming a Christian. God had everything to do with it because He did it through you. We had nothing to do with putting Edge Hill Church of Christ here. God did. It's not, we don't do it. God does it through us. So we need to humble ourselves and be gentle with patience, bearing with one another in love. I think that's where we're struggling. If people see that, they're going to want to be a part of that. People see that we are a loving, giving congregation, and remember, we're there. I think anybody who walks through that door can see that we're a loving, giving congregation. You know what the problem was? And I'll get to it in a minute. We're almost there. We'll talk about what we just talked about this morning. Let's finish this up so I don't hold you till this evening. Romans 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but with humbleness. Do not be, I like this last part. Listen to this last part. Do not be wise in your own opinions.
Don't be wise in your own opinions. In other words, don't you take credit for it because it has nothing to do with you. Well, you know, I know this. You don't know that until somebody gave it to you. You didn't receive knowledge unless somebody gave it and taught you the knowledge. So let's give credit where credit's due. And let's realize we are blessed because of somebody else. So we should be blessing others. It was read earlier. You don't know how to handle a situation. You don't know how to handle a brother who's disagreeing with you. You don't know what to do on a church situation, or a work situation, or a family situation. To me, it's pretty simple. James 1, verse 5 tells us, if you are lacking wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it generously to all, without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask for wisdom. And he said he'll give it to you generously. You know the struggles that I see that we're at? We're in a world today. And if you think there's not going to be no conflict in the church or no conflict in the world, well, you're sadly mistaken. Because the truth is, that's part of life. It's how we approach it. My encouragement to you this morning, as we continue on this morning's lesson, is that this is a loving congregation. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. All the comments I hear from people that come here and then see me outside here later, they are always welcomed. I can tell you by the way that our worship goes that we have the right heart. We are trying. We're here when nobody else thought we would be here. COVID came in and tried to wipe out everything that we possibly have, and we're still standing. And that is no credit to us. That's all credit to God. But brothers and sisters, as individuals and as a church, we got to find a way to get moving. We got to find a way to stick just coming here to church on Sunday mornings and continue to be that loving congregation within ourselves. Because I don't see conflict popping up in this congregation, because I'm able to be bold and say things that maybe some other people in some other churches may would say,
Brother Barry, there's the door.
We don't have that issue here. But they need that. So as individuals and as a congregation, like I said, watch out for your toes. We need to get up and get moving. We need to start finding ways to carry this message, God's message, not Brian's message. It's not my name on there. It's God's name on there. And getting it out there. This is what I've been struggling with this week. I don't know if I got it across the way I needed to get it across this morning because I had so much going on in my head and thoughts and process. But I do understand this last part. And this is what I want you to go home with. I want you to find ways that you can get busy. You as personally in your life. But I want you to find ways to get this church busy. That we can have those interactions that we were talking about with maybe other congregations. And bring our resources together. Maybe other services that we can provide to this community. Other ways that we can get God's message out. Because brothers and sisters, we can come here every Sunday and not be effective. We'll still have that love for one another. Thank the Lord for that because I was blessed the last few weeks. The outcome of my surgery, the biopsy was clear. I have no cancer in my bladder or in my prostate. That's because of prayers from y'all. But we got to get that out there. How are we going to do that? I ain't giving you the answer. We got to stir ourselves up and find the answers and start moving as a congregation. Satan tried to take us out and he lost the battle. It's time for us to win the war. At the end of the day, it comes down to this. Things are bad. They're going to get worse. But the victory's won. Should we share that out there with them? So my homework to you, because we only got two more Sundays in the next. My homework to you is find ways. I told you to go help somebody last week, didn't I? I'll expand it. Now find a way to spread the gospel individually. And how can we do it as a congregation? Wesley, you weren't able to hear the conversation this morning, but our elders are our leaders. We bring them ideas and say, yes, that's good, and that's where we need to be forward. They're not our workers. We are the workers. We can't expect the job that Jerry and Wesley do to abstain this congregation. We got to get out there and do the work. They're going to lead us in the right direction. They're going to make sure that we do what's right in the sight of the Lord. They're going to make sure we're doing what's biblical. They're going to make sure we stay strong as a congregation. But it's not their job to do the work. And I look across all the churches throughout the area. This doesn't just face Edgehill, because we all visit other congregations. When we go on vacation, wherever we go, you're military, you've probably been in multiple churches over your time frame. And seeing everybody come in the church. And there's no excuse, as we talked about this morning. You can't say that we're an older congregation. We don't have a young group in here like we did. I don't get around as much as I used to anymore. Phone work, text work. We can make all the excuses in the world. But at the end of the day, when we face the Lord, when He says, what'd you do for me lately? Well, I went to church. I prayed for Brother Bear. I prayed for Judy. Oh, you took good care of the church, but you didn't spread my gospel. I don't want to be in that boat. And like I said it this morning, and I'm probably going on really late because I'm on a soapbox. I am on a soapbox. I've been preaching to myself all week long over this and beating myself up. So this 45 minutes to an hour that I'm holding you up, it's just a little bit of what I did to myself. But we need to figure it out as a congregation. We need to figure it out as individuals, as Christians. What are we doing for the Lord?
So we got great leadership here. We got great people here. We got everything to make it happen. We just got to figure out how to make it happen. So that was what was on my heart this week. Hopefully you got something out of it, and if there's anything that you need from the congregation here, the elders will come and pray for you. They did it for me a couple of weeks ago. Great results. So if you're facing anything, any struggles, they're here for you. They will be calling you on the phone. They'll be praying for you. So we have great leadership here. So if you're struggling with anything, all you got to do is come down now as we stand and sing, and they'll pray for you, whatever you have in need of. So this lesson is now yours.